Yes. Yes, yes. It's Animal Planet here at Celebration Church, Marriage and Family Edition. And, you know, we're calling this series Animal Planet because if we're honest, many of us, in the context of the relationship with our spouse, many times we act like animals. Do I have anybody that's going to be honest? But we want to look at some good qualities from the Word of God, some good qualities from some of God's creation, that we can apply that wisdom to our marriages and our families and see some big results. So let me just throw this one out there to everyone this morning. And I don't want you to raise your hand. You'll see why. But have you ever wondered that you married the wrong person? No hands up, please. You ever had that thought? Like, did I marry the wrong person? You know, a lot of people, a lot of couples, see, there's a lot of joys in marriage, and there's a lot of good things that happen in marriage, but we also know that marriage and family, there's a lot of trials, and there's a lot of challenges, and many times when people hit some pretty serious trials or challenges in their relationship as a couple, they'll ask themselves that question, you know, did I marry the wrong person? Have I married the wrong person? And I think if you think about that question, did I marry the wrong person? And guess what? I'm going to give you the answer to that a little bit later in the message. How many of you are pretty tuned in right now? You're pretty clued in. So I'm going to answer that a little bit later in the message. But if you think about that question, did you marry the wrong person? It begs another question. What are you looking for in that person as your spouse, as your husband, or as your wife? In other words, what are you looking for in your wife in the first place? What are you looking for in your husband in the first place? What needs are you looking for your husband to fulfill, obviously, if you're a wife? And men, what need are you looking to your wife to fulfill in your life as a husband? You know, many of us, we're going to go out of here today and we're going to go get something to eat. But probably all of us, if you're going out of here today and you're going to go through a fast food restaurant and pick up something to eat, most of you are probably not going to go to the drive-thru at Bank of America. If you're looking to pick up a Big Mac, you're not going to go through to Wachovia over here. If you're going to go, you know, later on this afternoon, if you want to go look at some furniture for your new house, you're not going to go shopping for furniture at Walgreens. Hopefully. If you are shopping for furniture at Walgreens, just call our pastoral care department. We're going to give you some benevolence and help you out. You know what I'm saying? But in other words, we don't go to a bank for food. We don't go to a drugstore for furniture. So why in the world would we go to our spouse to fulfill needs in our life that only God can meet? Give God a hand for that. See, many times we're looking for the right thing. See, there's a core human need in all of us for happiness. There's a core human need in all of us to be loved. There's a core human need in all of us to be accepted. But that need at its core level can only be met by God. And if we're going to our spouse to meet a need that only God can meet, we're never going to be satisfied. You're never going to get fast food by going to a bank. You're never going to get a new living room set of furniture at Walgreens. It's just not going to happen. Why in the world then would we go to our spouse to meet needs that only God can fulfill in our life? And many people, and there's many couples here today, you're going to your spouse to meet your need for happiness. But the real deal is this: only God can meet that need of happiness in your life. And God has given you your spouse to add to your happiness, not be your happiness. And until you settle that issue and you learn to trust God and you learn to go to God to meet your need for happiness, to God to meet your need for love, to God to meet your need for acceptance, and you view your spouse as your spouse is a gift given to you by God to add to your happiness. It's a gift, she or he is a gift given to you by God to add to that need of love, that need of acceptance, that need of fulfillment in your life. But we're going to look today, we're going to look at God's plan for marriage. And this is a core foundational thing that God has given you, your spouse, to add to your happiness, not be it. And many of us, we're going to our spouse trying to get those needs met in our life, and only God can meet those needs. And you would stand just as good of a chance as trying to get a Big Mac at the drive-thru at Bank of America as having that core need of happiness and love and acceptance met by your spouse. So here's the answer to that question. Did you marry the wrong person? Yes. You married the wrong person if you are looking to that person to meet your need of happiness, love, and acceptance in your life. And guess what? If you married somebody else, they would be the wrong person. And if you married somebody else, they would be the wrong person. Because no such person exists. That person can never fulfill that need of happiness in your life. Only God can. So guess what? Everybody's married to the wrong person. If you're looking at that person as the source of happiness and acceptance and love in your life, no such human exists. Only God can meet that need. And He gives us our spouses as a blessing, as a gift to add to that happiness. Guess what? Any happiness that your spouse gives you, it's just a bonus. Somebody feeling what I'm saying today? It's over the top. It's a bonus. That's what God gives us. Our spouses, man, it's a bonus. And too many times we set all these expectations on our husbands, on our wives. We set all these expectations, and these expectations, watch, are based on that person meeting our need for happiness, meeting our need for love, meeting our need of acceptance, meeting our need of security. And that's why there are so many divorces, because human beings can't meet that need. Only God can. And what happens is we come into marriages, and instead of coming them into with the God's plan for marriage, which is a covenantal mindset, marriage is a covenant. Covenant means we give up our rights, and we come in to serve that other person, and do our best to help them fulfill the call of God on their life and be the person that God's called them to be, to add to that person. That's what a covenant relationship is. But too many people come into marriage with a contract relationship. Contracts are all about your rights, all about their responsibilities and your rights. So what happens is in the dating relationship, when you're dating as a couple, you know, when you're dating, man, it's just you're dreaming. You got the goo-goos, you got the gagas, you're just dreaming about the future. It's happy, it's exciting, you're infatuated, but then you get married and then the rubber hits the road. And just let me throw this one out right now to you girls. I'm telling you, if you're dating, if you're single and you're dating a guy right now, you are looking at his best. You are looking at, if you're getting flowers every week, I'm telling you, after you get married, it's going down to once a month, just like that. And then it's going to once a year. And then you're not getting roses anymore. You're getting like a day. He picked a daisy in the neighbor's yard on the way home. I'm telling you, if he's not opening the door for you now, girls, if you're dating, if he's not, you know, if he's pulling up in the driveway, wah, wah, come on. You better hightail it out of there. Because it's only getting worse. Am I telling the truth here today? But what we do is we set these expectations because we're dreaming and, you know, but then you get married. Well, you don't bring me roses once a week anymore. You only bring me roses once a month, and then you stop bringing me roses once a month. You give me some kind of, what was this, a tulip? What is this thing? You used to bring me these little boxes of Godiva chocolates. What is this, like a smushed up Three Musketeers? What? Half of it was eaten. He ate half of it on the way home. And what happens? But we start thinking of our expectations. Well, I thought he would always be like this. And now I'm not feeling loved. And what happened to the flowers? And what happened to this? I don't know about you, but I hadn't seen anything about how many times flowers need to come to anybody on any regular. See, it's just amazing. So many things in our marriage, honestly, they really have nothing to do with God's word, and they have everything to do with our expectations and who are we counting on to meet the need for happiness, love, and acceptance in our life. Is somebody hearing what I'm talking about? And so we put all these expectations, and you know, that's what happens. People enter into marriage, and it's dreams. It's amazing how our dreams, the dreams of yesterday, become the expectations of tomorrow. You know, and you look back, and you know, you were dreaming, and y'all were going to do this, and you were going to do that, and then it doesn't work out that way in your marriage, and you kind of look back, and you I said I would because you said you could, and now that you can't, I don't know if this is going to work out. You know, I mean, look, we're 40 years old now, and you know, I thought for sure by now you wouldn't be working 70, 80 hours a week. I thought for sure by now, you know, we would be able to live in this neighborhood, or you know, or you were going to get this promotion, or this thing wouldn't have happened with our kids, and we begin to face challenges, and begin to face trials, and we begin to view our relationship through an unhealthy filter of expectations, and many of those expectations are set on that person because you are looking to that person to meet a need that only God can meet. Only God can really meet your need for happiness. Your spouse cannot do it. Only God can really meet your need for love and acceptance. That's how He created us. It is impossible for human beings to meet those needs in one another at a core level. They can add to it. They can be a blessing to it. Ladies, let me help you out, especially, you know, I always hear this, you know, I'm looking for Mr. Right. Guess what? There's only one Mr. Right, and his name is Jesus. Okay? Watch. He's Mr. Right. See, I'm looking, you know, he's Mr. Right. All the rest of us guys are way far down on the totem pole. We will never measure up. We can't measure up. Jesus is Mr. Right, and just be thankful if the one you get is in the top 50. I mean, don't even go looking for number two. You know what I'm saying? In the top. Do you see? Look, man, none of us guys, no man is ever going to measure up, ladies, and meet your need for happiness and love and acceptance. You want to know the truth? There really is no Mr. Rights. That's why you can't marry the wrong person, is because there's no Mr. Rights. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Only Jesus is number one. Of course you married the right person because they're your wife or they're your husband, they're your spouse, they're yours. That's just like if you said, well, man, I think I'm parenting the wrong kid. My kid's not making good enough grades. I must be parenting the wrong kid. There was a mix-up. Mix-up in the hospital. Something came out wrong. You're not parenting the wrong kid. They're your kid. You're not married to the wrong guy. He's your guy. You're not married to the wrong girl. He's your girl. We're all humans called to, and what God puts couples and men and women together, He puts them together as a team to fulfill a purpose and a destiny on this earth. Amen. He's called you to be together, but your expectations for love and happiness and acceptance, those needs are met by God. Jesus is Mr. Right. God is the standard, and all of us are on a journey with Him. So the first thing we need to do when we're talking about, we're going to get into some marriage essentials here in just important, but man, we have got to trust God, and we have got to take the unrealistic and unhealthy expectations off of our spouses, or you're going to constantly live in a state of confusion, anger, and disappointment, and it will never change. And it doesn't matter how much they improve or how much this gets better or this circumstance changes or you get more money or you fix this problem or whatever it happens. Do you see there is a need on the inside of security and happiness and love, and only God can fulfill that need. Your spouse is a gift from God. Whoa. Do you realize what we're talking about today? Christianity. Whoa, your spouse is a gift. They just like, you know, like grace, you know, like it's a gift from God. Like we didn't deserve it. Like you don't deserve your spouse. It's a gift from God. And in any way, shape, or form that your spouse adds to your happiness, guess what? It's a bonus. Ladies, you want your husband to take the garbage out every night? Man, but if he only takes it out three times, that's great. Before he came along, it was zero times. It's a bonus. Thank goodness he's taking it out three times a night. Do you see, guys, you know, you wanna, okay, what? Okay. What word are we gonna use this marriage and family series? Okay, maybe I went a little raw last time. Maybe you want, let's do a conservative word. Should we use romance? What are we gonna use? Nurture, romance, intimacy with one another. What do you wanna, you know, what? That's what you think, right, guys? Isn't that what you think when, you know, you're ready, you know, with your wife? That's what you think in your mind, right? I'm ready to nurture and have intimacy. Is that what you say? Okay, so we'll use intimacy, but men, let me give you the code word. The intimacy is a code word for the nightly lunge attack. Ladies, I'm telling you, if your husband lunges and gropes and attacks you, that is romance at the highest level. I'm trying to help you out. If he brings you a tulip from the neighbor's yard, it's a bonus. He got your old daisy crumpled up. He found a can of red spray paint. He's trying to pass it off as a rose. You know. But say, if you want to have romance, you know, guys, like you want to have sex, you know, 5-6 nights a week, but your wife only wants to have it twice a week, hey man, it's a bonus. Two times is better than zero times. I mean, think about before you were married. Or maybe we shouldn't think about before you were married. But if you were living for God, watch, if you were living for God before you were married, hopefully, you weren't getting none. You know what I'm saying? It was zero. So zero to twice a week. Thank you, Jesus. All right. You see, we set these expectations, but, you know, I thought, you know, and these are my needs. Many times needs is just a word for expectations. Maybe you ought to substitute that word. These are my expectations. But these are your, do you see, if we could just view our spouses as a gift from God, and any happiness that they add to our lives, any help, fulfillment, anything like that, watch, it's a bonus. It is a gift from God. Be thankful. Be thankful for who they are. You know, they did do a study. I will say this, lady, so you can kind of help understand your guy. They did do a study about when men want to have sex with their wives. And they, interesting enough, it was a scientific study. Interesting enough, they found out that guys, husbands, wanted to have sex on days of the week that began with a T. So there's Tuesday and Thursday, today and tomorrow. and Tatterday and Tunday. So I just want to remind all you wives out there, today is Tunday. And it is one of the days on the scientific study. But listen. Ladies, you need, listen, thank God for your man. Thank God that God's given you a man. Guess what? That some of them, and some of them are not, but I mean, he's in church today. Thank God that whoever God has given you, thank God for your husband. And guys, begin to thank God for your wife and stop viewing one another as someone that is there to meet needs and to fulfill expectations, and start looking for one another as gifts from God, not to be the source of your happiness, but to add to it. Can I have a good amen? So watch this. Just give you Psalm chapter 43, verse 4. It says, there I will go to the altar of God, to God. Everybody say, to God. To God, the source of all my joy. Our spouses were designed to add to our joy, not be it. The basic human need of love and acceptance can only be met by God and God alone. Many times the anger and confusion we experience in our marriage is a result of unrealistic expectations. And you think your spouse has let you down when in fact it is you looking to your spouse to meet a need that only God can meet. So here we're going to go over marriage essential. Number one, if you have your Bibles, you can go to Matthew chapter 7. Marriage essential, number one, we're going to be talking about in this Marriage and Family Animal Plan Edition series, we're going to be talking about some marriage essentials, and we're going to give you probably four or five of them in this series. I know that I'm going to leave some questions unanswered and some things unsaid. That's because when you dig into relationships and marriage and family, it can go deep, and that's why it's important. If you're not able to make it every weekend, that you pick up the CD or the DVD, because they kind of build, or go to our website and listen to it online, because they kind of build. And I'm going to dig into some things today, and it will leave some things unanswered that I will be answering in the next couple of weeks. So here we go. Marriage essential number one. Are you ready? Trust God. Trust God, and I'm going to unpack that in a specific way. But let's look at Matthew chapter 7. This is going to remind us of the rock badger that we talked about last week. Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse. Everybody say, won't collapse. It won't collapse because it is built on the bedrock. In other words, foundational rock. And last week, we looked at the rock badger, and it talked about that because he makes his home in the rocks, it doesn't matter the weather or how steep the cliff is or how fast the water is moving. The rock badger understands that because he builds his den in the rock, that he can build a home anywhere. And the same thing in your life, when you look in the Bible and it talks about house. House is always talking about a family or a body. We're the house of God. It's talking about the family of God. And Jesus is speaking to our, yes, our lives, but also our families here. And he's saying, look, floodwaters are going to come. In fact, he uses the word torrents here. Anybody ever experienced some torrents coming against your family or in your relationship? But Jesus says this, it doesn't matter the circumstances, it doesn't matter how bad it gets, it doesn't matter what kind of hand life has dealt you, it doesn't matter your past experiences, it doesn't matter from this point what your spouse has done or hasn't done. The words that have been said, the things that have happened, the difficulties that you've had, the challenge that you've had, if you make a fresh decision to build your marriage on the rock of Jesus Christ and trust God, God can do something great. Your house, your marriage, your family won't collapse, and God will be able to do great things in it. And he goes on to say, he says, but anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish. Come on, Jesus calls people stupid sometimes. Jesus is saying this. He's saying, look, You're dumb. If you don't understand this, because you know what he's going to lay out here? Here, listen. Marriage, by natural, in other words, it's impossible. Your husband, your wife, they will never meet needs that only God can meet. Your marriage will never be what God wants it to be. It will never be fulfilling. It will never be the enriching experience that God wants it to be if Jesus is not in the center and you're not trusting God with your marriage. That's why so many marriages collapse. People build them on expectations. They build them on performance. They build them with a contractual mindset. And all of those things are the ways of the world, and it's like building your house on the sand. And Jesus says, if you don't hear my teaching and ignore it, you're like a foolish person, like a person who builds a house on the sand. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, notice Jesus doesn't say if, Jesus doesn't say they might. Jesus says, when these things happen, your marriage is going to face some challenges. Your family is going to face some challenges. And if you are not trusting God to meet those core needs in your life and viewing your spouse as a gift, you're going to have real problems. He says, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse. It will. No qualification there. And then he goes on to say, with a mighty crash. And that's the state of many marriages today. Oh, technically they might stay married, but really the marriage has collapsed. A lot of people, they don't. A lot of people, they just move on. They get divorced and they move on and they marry the wrong person again because the person that they're looking for doesn't exist. They are looking for someone to meet needs that only God can meet. I don't care how many times you go to the drive-thru here at the bank. You're not going to get a quarter pounder with cheese. You can pull up to the teller. You can scream as loud as you want into the intercom. A quarter pounder with cheese is not coming out the chute. You can stand up, you can holler, you can get on top of your car, you can plead your case, you can tell that bank teller how hungry you are and how important it is that you get your food and you have the money for it and you deserve that food and you need to eat. That bank cannot give you what you're looking for. You're looking for the right thing. You do need food. But it's in the wrong place. And if you would just leave that expectation of the bank giving you food and go to the right place, guess what? You don't have to scream. You don't have to plead your case. You don't have to tell them how hungry you are. You pull up to McDonald's and you say quarter pounder with cheese. Brother, that thing is happening just like that. And many of you, what you're looking for in your marriage, what you're looking for in your life, it will happen just like that when you start going to God for those needs. And start viewing your spouse that they're a gift there to add to that. I'm taking off those expectations and I'm going to get those needs met by God. Guess what? Your needs get met. Things change. All of a sudden, God begins to deal with your spouse. All of a sudden, the power of God begins to move in the inside of your family. God is just waiting to move in your marriage and to move in your life. But it won't happen until you start going to Him to meet those basic needs. Your wife, your husband, they cannot meet that need. They will always fall short. Marriage essential number one, trust God. Number one, trust God to meet your needs for happiness. Number two, trust God's plan for marriage, not your expectations. We're going to get into this deeper and later on, but I'm just going to kind of give you an overview today, and I want you to think about the locust. Last week, we looked at the locust, and we talked about that a locust understands. No one needs to tell him. If a locust gets out there by himself, he's going to get smashed. He can't really do anything. He's just going to go down real quick as soon as someone steps on him or swats him. But a locust understands team. A locust understands rank. A locust understands order. The locust understands that a house divided against itself cannot stand. But a house in unity has the power of God. And a locust understands these things. And God lays this out as we trust God's plan for marriage here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, it says, "And further submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Verse 22, "For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits," that's right, I'm saying the S word in church, submit. And let me say what this word means. This word really means yield. In our modern culture, submit has taken on a very negative term. You know, like you see it in like the cage fighting matches. You know, submit your opponent, conquer your opponent. That's not what this word means. It means to yield. It means to prefer. It means to honor. And husbands, let me say this. Your wife is not your slave. Your wife is not someone, you know, to power drive. You're not, do you see? So many guys, you have this expectation, like you marry this girl, and so she's there to serve you. She's really not there to serve you. You're there to serve her. You're there to love her. You're both there to serve one another. You're both called by God. You're there to help and nurture each other in the call of God on each other's life and the call of God on your lives as a couple. And as we look in here in God's order, understand when you get married, guess what? The call of God goes from your life to both of your lives. Neither of you can be who God's called you to be unless you do it together. A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall be as one flesh. The call of God on you is one. And as you help your wife be everything that she's called to be, and wife, as you help your husband be everything that he's called to be, you're just like that locust. You're an army. You can conquer anything. You can do anything that God sets out for you to do. But you can't do it divided. So look what he says. He says, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their husbands in everything. I know what you're thinking. And once again, I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about neglect. I'm not talking about those kind of things. I'm talking about everyday stuff. I'm talking about everyday leadership here. But this is what you're thinking. Here's what you're thinking. You're thinking, so I cannot yield to him. I can't submit. I can't follow him. He is an idiot. He hadn't done this, and he doesn't do that, and he says he's going to do this, and he never does it. And this and that and this and that. In other words, so of all, let me sum up. Now listen, let me sum up what you're saying. I'm going to sum up all your reasons, all your excuses right here. In other words, Stovall, I can't submit to him because he is not performing to my expectations. In other words, I'll sum it up in two words. I cannot submit to him because he doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. And guess what? Once again, you're probably right. The problem is that last time I read this verse, which was just a few minutes ago, the Bible doesn't say, wives, submit to your husbands if they deserve it. Wives, submit to your husbands because they're so smart. Wives, submit to your husbands because they're great spiritual leaders. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. In other words, you yield to your husband. You know what? You do it for God. Some of you are like, that's the only person I'm doing it for. You do it for God. You see, whoa, dude, whoa. You know what we're on again? Christianity. This is just like a whole lot of other verses in the Bible. You know, like, forgive one another, not because they deserve it, the Bible says. They don't deserve it. Most people that you need to forgive, guess what? They did something bad to you. They hurt you. They don't deserve your forgiveness. We don't forgive people because they deserve or don't deserve it. Forgive one another just as Christ forgave you. Submit to your husbands as unto the Lord, as for the Lord because of Jesus, not because they deserve it. Aren't you glad? We're talking about Christianity here. Aren't you glad for the grace of God that God does not reward us according to what we deserve? That's the very definition of grace. God doesn't give us what we deserve, does he? He gives us love. He gives us mercy. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. So what Jesus is saying this, he's saying, wives, as you yield to your husbands, and they won't deserve it, because they are Mr. Wrong. There's only one Mr. Right, that's Jesus. As you yield to your husbands, and you understand I'm just making a play on words. Of course that person's the person for you. As you yield to your husbands, guess what? You are demonstrating grace. You are demonstrating the unconditional love of God. You are being an example of Christ's love for us. He loves, he forgives us, even though we don't deserve it. We don't deserve the goodness of God. Can I have a good amen to that? That's what Jesus said. And then so it's a choice. Wives, once again, it's a choice. Are you going to trust God's plan? Are you going to trust God's word? Or are you going to do your own plan? See, we think our own plan will better. We think our own plan's better than God. If you want to get down to it, that's what we think when we chew. Well, I just can't do it because he did this and I feel this and these are the expectations and he said this and he didn't do this. You want to trust in your expectations? You want to do your own plan instead of God's plan? Go ahead. But I'm telling you, your marriage will never be fulfilling and exciting and what God wants it to be. Just won't. It's your choice. You can keep going to your spouse to try to meet your needs for love and happiness and acceptance and all that stuff. It'll never happen. Human beings weren't created to do that. That's not what marriage was created for. That's why marriage in the world is just, it's just not working. Marriage is not working because people are going to their spouses for things and it is impossible for that person to meet that need. Only God can meet that need. Man, I'm telling you, I'm on to something here. God's word is on to something here. This is what God's word. Now when you read these scriptures, now they begin to make sense. Now things begin to fall into place. Well, of course God meets those needs. Now my wife, my husband, my spouse, they're a gift. They're a bonus. They're a blessing to do life with. God's put them in my life so we could fulfill his purpose. So look what it says. Okay, husbands, and so here we go to you. It says, for husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her. I know what you're thinking. You're like, Stowe, I can't do it, man. You talking about really serving my, you talking about giving up. You don't understand how she treats me. You don't understand what she says. You don't understand how she embarrasses me and she doesn't honor me and she said this and she called her group of friends and she did this and that and all that. Once again, last time I read this verse a few seconds ago, it doesn't say love your wives and give up your life because your wife deserves it, because she's being perfect, because she's meeting all your expectations, because she's performing appropriately. You give up your life and you love your wife. You do it for God. You do it for Jesus. You do it because that's what Christ did for each and every one of you. And if you want to be a man, if you really want to bow up and be a man, Christ's likeness and manhood are synonymous. This scripture right here, this sums up what manhood is. It is serving, it is giving up our life for the woman that God places in our life as our wife. And we don't do that according to how she performs or according to the expectations that she's meeting or not meeting. We do it because it's the right thing to do, guys. It's the godly thing to do, guys. It's the manly thing to do. It's the courageous thing to do. And we do it for Christ. We do it for our Lord. We are submitted to Him. And we do it for Jesus. Trust God. Trust God to meet your needs for happiness. Trust God's plan for marriage. And the last thing is trust God with your spouse. Trust God with your spouse. What I mean by it, the person, when is the last time you've actually gotten on your knees and gone to God and thank God for your wife or thank God for your husband and said, Lord, I recognize you've given me this person as my spouse. And God, I just want to give them to you. Father, I pray that they're everything that you want them to be. Help me be an asset and to serve. And use me, God, so that my spouse who you've given me can be everything that you've called them to be, and that we as a couple and that we as a family can fulfill your purpose and destiny for our lives on this earth. No longer is it, okay, your wife's called to do this and your husband's called to do this and your family. Nuh-uh. It's all together. It's one for all. It's all for one. Remember the locus. There are so many things that God wants you to conquer. So many places that God wants to take you to. But you won't do it doing your own thing. Give each other to God. Serve one another. Trust God to meet your needs for happiness. Your spouse will never meet them. Trust God's plan for marriage, not your expectations or your feelings. And trust God with your spouse. Trust God. Let's pray. Father.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.